Our antiphon for Pentecost says, "The Spirit of the Lord fills the world, the righteous shall be glad." So we rejoice that the Holy Spirit comes to us and fills this world in great signs and wonders in the preaching of the apostles. In the restoration, what we're kind of going to focus on tonight, the reversal of Babel. Babel, the day when the languages of the earth were scattered and divided and division and discord entered in, is now restored by the word of the gospel. And so on Pentecost, when all the different languages are spoken by the apostles, it's not just to kind of impress people. It's to show, it's to demonstrate that we are all now restored to unity in Christ. The gospel goes forth. Now, I was reading Luther talking about the text I'm preaching on tonight. He says, you know, the Germans don't like the Italians don't like the French, and the French don't like anyone. And now in Christ, language, nationality, race, that's not a barrier anymore. We are one in Christ, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Our order of service this night is divine service setting number 4. Start on page 203 and following. And our opening hymn, number 913. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank and praise you for pouring out upon us the gift of the Holy Spirit. We beg you that through his work among us tonight, you will be brought to us in word and in the holy and precious sacrament of your body and blood. We beg you, O Lord, that you would fill us with your Spirit, that you would continue to teach us through your word each and every day. We ask all these things, your holy, your precious name, for you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Hymn 913. setting number 4, page 203, we stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand?
But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared.
Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon Him in prayer and in praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar. Let us first consider our unworthiness, and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as His people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking His grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner.
Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen.
Almighty God, in His mercy, has given His Son to die for you, and for His sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by His authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We turn to the words of the introit. We chant them together as printed on your bulletin insert.
Thank you.
with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, on this day you once taught the hearts of your faithful people by sending them the light of your Holy Spirit. Grant us in our day by the same Spirit to have a right understanding in all things and evermore to rejoice in His holy consolation. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
May be seated.
The Old Testament reading for the day of Pentecost is written in Genesis chapter 11. Now the whole earth had one language and the same words. And as people migrated from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. And they said to one another, "Come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly." And they had brick for stone and bitumen for mortar. Then they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens. And let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth." And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of man had built. And the Lord said, "Behold, they are one people, and they have all one language, and this is only the beginning of what they will do. And nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and there confuse their language, so that they may not understand one another's speech." So the Lord dispersed them from there over the face of all the earth. And they left off building the city. Therefore its name is called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth. And from there the Lord dispersed them over the face of all the earth. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second reading is written in Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound the multitude came together, and they were bewildered, because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us in his own native language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians. We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God." And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others, mocking, said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these men are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants, in those days I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We continue with our Alleluia and verse. We stand for the Holy Gospel. According to St. John, the 14th chapter. Glory to you,
O Lord.
Jesus answered him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away, and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced because I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no claim on me, but I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise, let us go from here." This is the Gospel of the Lord. Praise
to you, O Christ.
We confess the faith of the Church in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God,
Father Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of His Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from
shall have no other gods before me. What does this mean? We should fear, love, and trust in God above all things. Grace, mercy, peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Text for our sermon as we continue our celebration of Pentecost this evening is the Old Testament lesson. Read a few moments ago, the familiar story, the Tower of Babel, dear friends in Christ. God told them His will. He gave them His command. First in the garden and then standing right outside the ark. And God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth." God's command came with a blessing. This was to be their joyful task, to fill up that whole wide earth that God had created just for them. They were to spread out far and wide, exercising dominion over this world, making it fruitful in every corner. That was their good work. Good because it was commanded by God. He told them which work was pleasing in His sight. He instructed him with His word. They knew exactly what was expected of them, what they were to do with their lives in this world. Nothing was unclear. It was so simple, so plain, there was no mistaking what God wanted of them. Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. But the word of God is odious to sinful man. "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth." God's will is for man to spread out, to fill this earth and subdue it. But man ignores God's will. He openly rebels against it. Man does exactly the opposite of what God has commanded. His command spread far and wide. But man chooses to concentrate, to build a city. God has told them which work is pleasing in His sight, which work is truly good because He has commanded it. But man chooses another so-called good work, a work that God has not commanded. Man chooses to build a tower reaching to the heavens. The goal? To impress men, to impress God, to make a name for ourselves. You see, the works that God gives us to do are mundane, boring, hardly the kind of works that get one's name in the paper or make an obituary worth reading. Get married, have children, raise those children in the fear and admonition of the Lord, faithfully work, providing goods and services to others, be a good neighbor, go to church, go to Bible class, study God's Word at home, help your neighbor in his physical needs, protect the virtue and honor of all, uphold everyone's reputation. These are not the kind of works that earn any medals. They mostly go unnoticed because they are truly routine. And that's the point, isn't it? The works that God commands are to be routine. They are to be a part of your daily life. Those works that are truly good are those that are done in faith for the good of one's neighbor, not those works done to impress others. Instead of building towers, God commands man to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. But we like building towers, don't we? Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth. We don't want to do what God has commanded, do we? It is too boring, too unimpressive, too mundane. Instead, we think He, along with everyone else, will be impressed with what we have done for ourselves. And so we construct our own towers in pride. Towers constructed with the brick and mortar of our own self-chosen good works. Now we may use the bricks of God's commanded good works, trying to build toward heaven with an impressive resume of charitable contributions, service in the church, and a few spectacular good deeds thrown in there for good measure. Or else we choose our own, quote-unquote, good works. Things like a big investment portfolio, an immaculate house, or athletic achievement, medals and ribbons, certificates, pictures of us with famous people on our walls. We want our obituary to be interesting reading. We are obsessed, and the world wants you to be obsessed with our legacy, with not being forgotten, with leaving an impressive edifice behind for others to see and admire. And we think that God and others will be impressed that we lived life to the full, that we did it our own way, that we have left a legacy that will last much longer than we will. But God is not impressed. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower, which the children of man had built. And the Lord said, "Behold, they are one people, and they have all one language. And this is only the beginning of what they will do. And nothing that they propose to do now will now be impossible for them." How arrogant we are. We think that we are building an impressive edifice, constructing a legacy that will last, that all will see and be impressed by, a tower with its top in the heavens. But did you catch that in our text? God has to come down to see it. The towers that we construct to impress God, to make Him respect us, are so insignificant that He must come down to even see them. How foolish we are to think that we could impress God with anything that we do, any tower we construct. And the penalty for our arrogance is one we see so often in our world. Come, let us go down and there confuse their language so that they may not understand one another's speech. Don't focus so much on the confusion of language, but the result. Confusion, discord, dissension, conflict, jealousy, envy. These are the results when we are all at work building our own towers to heaven. When we are acting in pride, we are setting ourselves in opposition to one another. Our towers are in competition. We aren't serving one another in humility, we're serving ourselves in pride. And the greatest conflict is then with God Himself. Our Heavenly Father is not impressed with our towers. He is not impressed with our attempts to reach up to Him with a pile of good works, self-chosen or not. By trying to build to heaven, we find, unfortunately, that in our pride and our sin, We have divided ourselves from the very place and the very person we've been trying to reach. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of man had built. God comes down to see the division, the chaos that our sin, that our arrogance, that our pride has caused. We have tried to build up to Him and have dramatically failed. But where we were unable to go up to Him, He came down to us. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. God descends, yes, to see our sin, but He descends to do something about it, to restore harmony between men, to restore harmony between men and God. The second person of the Trinity takes flesh and dwells among us, full of grace and truth. He descends in order to be lifted up high upon a cross, not to make a name for Himself, not so that people would see and be impressed, but so that He could take all of your pride into Himself, all of your selfishness, all of your tower building, all of your sin, and destroy it by dying your death. He came down in compassion. For He saw that your towers of sinful pride could never reach to God, and they only resulted in pain, suffering, and division. He came to bring peace, to knock down your towers with His law and replace them with the cross as the only ladder between earth and heaven, bringing you to your God by His shed blood, His blood-bought forgiveness. You cannot reach God on any tower that you construct. So God, in His mercy, comes down to you, bringing forgiveness, bringing salvation, bringing peace, reversing the curse of Babel. So the Lord dispersed them from there over the face of all the earth, and they left off building the city. The penalty for our arrogance, for our pride, was division and discord, symbolized by the confusion of languages that happened at Babel, a confusion of languages that exists to this very day. Humanity was scattered throughout the earth as God intended, but humanity was also hopelessly divided, as God never willed. His will was restoration, reconciliation through the blood of His Son. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. On the day of Pentecost, the confusion of Babel is replaced with unity. As the gospel goes forth to every language, nation, tribe, and race, in Christ, nothing now divides us. For we are one in Christ, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Language is restored to unity on the day of Pentecost in order to speak the gospel, pointing to a glorious new reality. You are at peace with your God. You are united with Him. And in His salvation, in His forgiveness, you have a unity with your fellow Christians that transcends language, nation, or race. God descends to you this day in the person of Jesus Christ. And He comes speaking peace. Peace between man. Peace between man and God. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. In the name of Jesus. Amen. We stand for the prayers of the church. Friends in Christ, I urge you all to lift up your hearts to God and to pray with me as Christ our Lord has taught us and freely promised to hear us. God, our Father in heaven, look with mercy on us, your needy children on earth, and grant us grace that your holy name may be hallowed by us and all the world through the pure and true teaching of your word, and the fervent love shown forth in our lives. Graciously turn from us all false doctrine and evil living, whereby your precious name is blasphemed and profaned. Lord, in your mercy, may your kingdom come to us and expand. Bring all transgressors and those who are blinded and bound in the devil's kingdom to know Jesus Christ, your Son, by faith, that the number of Christians may be increased. Lord, in your mercy, strengthen us by your Spirit according to your will, both in life and in death, in the midst of both good and evil things, that our own wills may be crucified daily and sacrificed to your good and gracious will. Into your merciful hands we commend Elaine Egner, Brian Campbell, Brian Murundi, Sue Weshi, recovering from eye surgery. We pray for them and all who are in need, praying for them at all times. Thy will be done. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Grant us our daily bread. Preserve us from greed and selfish cares. And help us trust in you to provide for all of our needs. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Forgive us our sins as we also forgive those who sin against us, so that our hearts may be at peace and may rejoice in a good conscience before you, and that no sin may ever frighten or alarm us. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lead us not into temptation, O Lord, but help us by your Spirit to subdue our flesh, to turn from the world and its ways, and to overcome the devil with all his wiles. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Be with all those who are completing studies, all of our members and friends who are graduating from high school or college in this week and the weeks to come. For all the students and the teachers of our school and preschool as they depart for the summer. And for Mark and Bethany Kranz as they prepare to transition to the seminary as Mark prepares to study for the holy ministry. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
And lastly, O Heavenly Father, deliver us from all evil, of both body and soul, now and forever. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We trust, O Lord, in your great mercy to hear and to answer us through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. You may be seated. At this time, we'd ask you to participate in the rite of fellowship. There's a pad at the end of each pew. If you would please sign and pass along. Guests and visitors, we'd ask that you would provide us your mailing address so we can acknowledge your presence with us this night. At this time also, we receive our Pentecost gifts and offerings.
Thank you.
time we continue with the service of the sacrament on page 208. We stand. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sin, giving him into death that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead, lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, blessed are you, O Lord, our God, King of all creation, for you have had mercy on us and have given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. In these last days you have poured out your Holy Spirit on your church, that your sons and daughters might proclaim the wonders of your salvation in Christ Jesus our Lord. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon your gathered people, that faithfully eating and drinking the body and blood of your Son, we may go forth to proclaim his salvation to the ends of the earth. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
the true body and precious blood of our crucified, risen, ascended, and returning Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in the true faith till life everlasting. Go at peace with great joy. Your sins are forgiven. Amen. We stand for the Nunc Dimittis, page 211. Thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same, in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give to you peace.
Amen.
You may be seated for our closing hymn, number 921. 921. As we continue our celebration of the great festival day of Pentecost. And Sunday will be Trinity Sunday, another great festival in the church year, and we continue into the Trinity season from there. Just a couple of announcements. There's a table back there, sign-up sheets for Vacation Bible School, which will be the first full week of June. So that's coming up in just a couple of weeks. So sign-up sheets for things to bring, for volunteers, for the kids are all back there on the back table. On Friday evening, from 5:30 until 8, we'll be having a spaghetti feed here at church. It's a benefit auction dinner for a school family, one of our Good Shepherd school families who came during this past year. And the details are in the bulletin, but the mother of the children has been diagnosed with breast cancer, and she's working through that and the treatments and all that. And they are strong supporters of our school, very glad to have come to our school, and we're trying to give back a little bit to them. So that's 5:30 to 8 on Friday night. Come and eat some spaghetti. Also, I have written down here, Preussfest is June 1st. 2 weeks from now, 3 weeks from now, 2 weeks from now, something like that. The Preusses will be here, and Pastor Elect Christian Preuss will be standing right there and preaching a sermon. And the family will be here as well. And after the church service, there'll be a brief little gathering, a reception type thing, meet and greet afterwards. So keep that in mind on June the 1st. Vicar, any necessary and pressing announcements? No. Any minor announcements? Bible study tonight. Okay. That's a major announcement. Bible study tonight, right after the service. And which psalm are you on? You're on the last one, correct?
No, 1 John.
Oh, that's right. You just started the 1 John study. Starting the book of 1 John, which is a wonderful, wonderful book. I love 1 John. Wonderful book. So that's starting right after worship tonight. And then Job Bible study, Lifelight, tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Lord be with you as we continue to celebrate the giving of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost.